Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, he had it first yesterday that Kevin Stefanski would be named the head coach of the Browns. Ian, what do you think put it over the top? Because, well, you know, you got to give everybody a chance. You never know. Kevin Stefanski might be the best head coach. He has the least experience as a coordinator or head coach of any of the eight candidates. So what do you think put him over the top? Is it just his inclination to be analytically based?
No, I don't think that's just it. I mean, obviously it helped. And, you know, to be analytically based, and I imagine that a large portion of the Browns fan base is going to be learning all about analytics over the next year or so, like exactly what it means and all that. You know, I think a lot of it is really based in the process, taking the well-researched information, the numbers that apply to all sorts of different situations and prospects and everything, and applying it to football, applying it to football knowledge and finding players and running your scheme and play calling and all that. I just think, from what I understand of Stefanski, someone who takes a lot of information, synthesizes it really well, teaches it really well, and kind of goes about his business like that. I think that's why, that's one thing that kind of drew the Browns to him. I mean, obviously, you know, he's someone who can, I would say, I don't know a better way to say this, but can get along with a lot of people. I mean, he's been a holdover from various staffs, various head coaches with the Minnesota Vikings, a really good head coach that they have never let leave the building because he's someone they needed to keep around. I mean, yes, he's been, you know, a coordinator for only a year and, you know, a half or whatever it is, a year and change. Part of that is because the Vikings have had very good coordinators who have sort of blocked him along the way. He's been a quarterback's coach. He's held various jobs. I mean, he's someone who came in with a little bit of a leg up because of, you know, what Paul DePodesta, the chief strategy officer, thought about him. And, you know, I know Robert Saleh did a really good job. I sounded like he was really impressive. But I think it was just sort of too much to get over the, you know, the impression that Stefanski made, not just last year, but also this year.
The one question I have, Ian, is what sort of leader is Stefanski? Because that's ultimately, I think, the most important thing. I think it's more important than analytics. It's more important than X's and O's. It's who can step in front of this team with all of these egos, all these personalities. You know, the culture, it's sort of toxic right now. You've got, a bunch of guys that, you know, let's face it, not choir boys. Dorsey put a ton of talent on this team, but didn't really care too much about how they would mesh. You know, how do you think Stefanski will do when he steps in front of Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis and company?
Yeah, I would say of all the things sort of left over from the John Dorsey regime, overlooking the character and fit part of it, you know, probably doesn't help. I mean, I think, you know, guys like, well, I mean, you guys know, right? I mean,
there's a ton, you don't have to name them. I mean, there's a million guys that were the question.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys who are kind of going the right way. And, you know, you got random guys who are left home from games because of the way they acted toward a certain coach, and guys who think they're superstars because of where they were drafted, but don't put that product on film and end up getting, you know, being healthy scratches late in the season. I mean, there's all sorts of different things. The best thing I can say about Stefanski is they had a real situation in Minnesota this year. I mean, they had a real deal. They had Stephon Diggs frustrated with the direction of the offense, with Thielen kind of stepping to the forefront, not getting his touches. He did not show up one day, you know, was sort of homesick and didn't demand a trade, but made it clear that he would have been okay if he was traded and didn't really want to be there. And it was a big story. I mean, we hit it on all day during the week. It was a big topic on Sunday. He got fined. Diggs got fined. And Stefanski was a big part in making sure that basically went away. He massaged the egos of Diggs. He helped Cousins get involved. He helped the offense function while making sure that Diggs was happy, but also kind of helped him realize the importance of being selfless. He helped manage that situation better than anybody would know. That is incredibly hard. I don't think he got the credit he deserved for that. But that's probably a good thing for Browns fans. And I imagine he'll have to do a little bit of that going forward.
No doubt. That certainly is a positive. We're talking with Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network. Ian, let's talk about the front office situation here. Elliot Wolf is still here. Alonzo Highsmith is still here for now. What is their future, and what's going on with Andrew Berry? I know the name's escaping me, the Vikings assistant GM.
Payton.
I think it's Payton. Payton. So what's going on with all those guys right now?
So first of all, Andrew Berry is going to interview this week. George Payton received a request. I do not know the confirmed date of his interview. I know that's one. You know, I think everyone assumes Andrew Berry is getting the job. I am not under that assumption. George Payton is really, really impressive, and he's very tight with Stefanski. And, you know, he's been choosy. He's turned down several opportunities over the years. We'll see if this is one where he comes in and interviews. But, you know, I would say, you know, he is a very, very strong candidate. He's done a great job in Minnesota. So those guys are the two requests that we know of right now. As far as Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith, I mean, those, you know, those were Dorsey's guys, yes. They are also very respected scouts and personnel people. You know, I know of no change in status for either guy, and that's kind of where it stands. I mean, I think with Elliot Wolf, you know, he's still the assistant GM. He is, you know, maybe the person who gets hired as the full-time GM decides to keep him would be a smart thing. He's very good. You know, and I know we mentioned, and his sort of role in the interview process has been debated. My understanding is when they went on the road and did interviews, like with Stefanski, for instance, he did not travel. When they went in the building, he took part in those interviews. So he was part of this process, but in the Stefanski interview, he was not present, from what I understand, because it was on the road and he didn't travel. That's kind of his role in this process, and everything else, it seems to me, is undefined until they hire a new GM.
You know, the Berry thing's interesting. You know, he left Cleveland and took an opportunity in Philadelphia, and now, you know, he knows the inner workings of Cleveland. He knows the Haslams. I mean, I'll be fascinated to see what he does if he's offered the job, because, you know, why come back to Cleveland where you've seen dysfunction? And if you're going to be a GM, you don't get these opportunities too often. He's only 32, 33 years old. I mean, he'll have tons of opportunities. I wonder if he'll want to, you know, waste it on Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I mean, he will be picky. I'm not convinced that.
I'm with you on that.
If he gets offered, like, I'm not going to say right now, if he gets offered, he's definitely taking it. I think he'll have to hear some things. It'll have to be a good process. Like, there's, you know, it's no slam dunk, because he is young. He is impressive. He will get interviews. He'll have opportunities to be a GM. He may in the future have opportunities to be a team president, because he's also involved in the business side. He's someone who have plenty of opportunities. The only thing is, it's hard to get a GM job. I mean, it's hard to get a head coaching job, but it is really hard to get a GM job. Think of how few are open. There's always like half or less than the amount of head coach openings. So, you know, to turn one down, you have to be supremely confident in yourself and know you're going to get another opportunity. We will see if that's kind of where he lands. And if in the end he ends up getting hired and picked over George Payton.
We're talking with Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network. Ian, ultimately, when it came to Josh McDaniels not getting the job, was he, if he would have agreed to their system, would he have been the choice? Was it that simple that he wanted to do it his way, or was he actually not the top choice? What do you think?
It's hard for me to say, because I don't see any scenario where he would come in and just say, all right, the way you guys are running things is great. I'm going to come in. I'm going to answer to all these people, including, you know, let's say relatives of Jimmy Haslam and all the people who have the offices kind of in front when you walk in. Like, I don't think of a situation where I just don't see him ever doing that. I think he has a vision of how he wants a program run. I think having a personnel man that he respects and to get in there and have some autonomy is really important to him. Making sure that everyone who has a say is on the right page with him, and everyone has power for the right reasons, and everyone's, you know, having like a streamlined football operation. I mean, those are all things that are really, really important to him. I have a hard time seeing him taking a job or being interested in a job that is a different way from how he envisions it. So I can't even say, you know, well, you know, what if he would just do things the Browns way? Because I don't see any way that would happen in itself. I mean, to me, I think he did not get the job. He didn't pull out, so he was still a candidate.
Yeah.
He did not get the job, and I think everyone involved is fine with that.
All right. Ian, last thing. In terms of assistant coaches, number one, do you think Kevin Stefanski will have an OC? I would hope so. That would actually call plays, and he'd just be the head coach. And have we heard any names for possible OC and certainly for defensive coordinator yet?
We'll start with defensive coordinator. Yeah. You know, I know a couple of names to watch. I mean, Steve Wilks is on staff and is very good and has been on Stefanski's list in the past. Okay. We'll see if he keeps him, but I know he has been mentioned. And then George Edwards, who let his contract expire in Minnesota, and I think both sides are probably cool with moving on there. He would be another name to watch, or maybe some others, but I think those are two. As far as the OC, I would imagine he'll have one. I hope for his sake he has one, because it's hard for a first-time head coach to come in and just run the whole show. You know, there's some options. I mean, Gary Kubiak worked closely with him in Minnesota, but he's under contract. Does Kubiak get out and come with Stefanski, like, and then do the Vikings completely start over? I mean, there's a lot of questions there, and I think they're not close to having those answers. So still, you know, I would say still very much a work in progress.
Ian, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.